Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
All you need is some time in His presence to reveal every flaw in your plan. Every flaw in your plan will be revealed in the presence of God. Amen. Jim, my voice is a little weak. Give me monitors and you can do what you want to out there. Well, not quite exactly what you want to, but ooh, that thing won't move. There we go. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you tonight. We're in this third day of fasting. And a lot of people have a lot of questions about fasting. So I want to talk to you a little bit about it tonight. Some people go, well, Pastor, I can't do that whole fast. Well, if you do something, we want to know about it. Amen? Any sacrifice is better than no sacrifice.
That's right.
I believe I'll say that one more time. Any sacrifice is better than no sacrifice. And the Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice, right? So we obey, but sacrifice will give you something. Sacrifice has the ability to get God's attention. How many wants God's attention? Don't answer that. Don't answer that. Because then I'd have to go, how many don't want God's attention? Some of us don't want God's attention. Amen. I mean, we'll speak Christianese. Oh yes, I want God's attention. Oh yes, Jesus. But then when He shines the light on stuff you ain't doing right, I don't know who you think you are. Amen. We want God's attention as long as it is positive attention. But we don't want God to correct us. Why? Because we're doing what we want to do. Amen. Go with me to the book of Matthew. I want to talk about, is there power in fasting? Now, let me go ahead and tell you. I'm going to go ahead and give you the answer to the quiz. Yeah, there is. Now, I know that there are some people who say, Pastor, I tried that fasting thing and it just didn't work for me. Well, bless your little pea-picking heart. I'm sorry you don't know Jesus like I do. And like a lot of other people do. But whatever. I said this to somebody the other day. And boy, it was revelatory when I said it. It was freeing when I said it. I felt good when I said it. They were telling me about these people who are quote unquote prophets and prophetesses, and I happen to personally know these people. And trust me, they're not prophetesses and prophetesses and isses. I'm not even sure they say, but anyway, that's just my opinion. I ain't Jesus. And here's what I said. I made this statement. And you, if this fits you or one of your friends, don't go amen, oh me, or point at them. Just go, I said, God doesn't speak to me as much as He does to them. But He don't lie to me as much as He does to them. Come on now. Oh, the Lord told me to do this. Why didn't that work out? Well, the Lord just wanted me to over here so that I could go over there. And listen, and there are times God will do that. God will lead you here to get you there. God will lead you up on the mountain with your son carrying the sacrificial wood just to see if you're willing to sacrifice Him on the altar. So you can't tell me God don't do that sometimes, but God don't do that every week. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says if you prophesy and it don't come to pass, take them out and stone them. Woo! Some of y'all are like, where is me a rock right now? Now, but you got to understand this. The person who prophesies, I don't know why I'm on this, the person who prophesies is not the only one who is in the equation. Jesus told the woman at the well, go and sin no more. Or the woman that was caught in adultery, she said, go and sin no more. All right? So we've got to understand that we have a responsibility also. That if you get a word from God, don't live your life by the word of a man that says it's God or a woman. If you get a word from God, it ought to already be a confirmation of what God said or what God is already dealing with you about. All right? So I'm trying to help somebody. So with that same thought, is there power in fasting? Sometimes we fast with the wrong attitude and the wrong mindset, and we fast for the wrong stuff. We fast to get stuff instead of fasting to get Him. A fast is a sacrifice, right? So we fast in order to get closer to Him. And as a result of getting Him, we come into His presence. And then there are attributes and offsprings and prizes for getting into His presence. But you don't fast just to get, well, I fasted, God saved my marriage, but it didn't do it. It didn't work. Well, you ain't the only one on that equation there, bro. Well, I fasted God would give me that I'd win the lottery. In King James Version, you are so as stupid as. Go with me to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. The Bible says, when they had come to the multitude. Everybody with me already? When they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. Now the King James Version calls him a lunatic. How many has a King James Version? It says he's a lunatic. Some of y'all looking at y'all's neighbor now going, that's what's wrong with you. You a lunatic. And suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to you, or to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. Whoo! How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. I want you to read that with me. For nothing will be impossible for you. Say it again. For nothing will be impossible for you. However, it says, however, verse 21. Now, I'm going to mess with somebody right here. And I'm not saying it's of the devil. But if you have a New International Version, that verse isn't in there. It stops at 20. This is one of the reasons why I quit reading the NIV. I still read it, but I don't read it for my entire, because it takes this whole verse out. This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. I don't know what the folks in the NIV are going to do. Now, is it still the Bible? Yeah, I mean, don't like wig out. Don't like go burn the NIV or nothing. That's why I call it the nearly inspired version. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I had a black preacher called it the Negro inversion of Bible. He said that. I didn't. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, when we pick up our story here, in verse 14 of chapter 17, Jesus, let me give you the background. Jesus and his disciples had just returned to the area of Caesarea Philippi, where he teaches his disciples and reveals to them the news of the coming church age. You'll remember that it was there that Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 16 and 18, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then we come to chapter 17, where Jesus took Peter, James, and John to a certain mountain to pray. And while they were there, right before their eyes, the glory of God shows up and just engulfs Jesus and transfigures him from his natural earthly form to a glorious one, in which his face shined, the Bible says, as the sun, and his clothes just glowed with the radiance of a great light. All right. So after this incident, Jesus told the three disciples that they were not to speak about this. They were not to speak about what they saw until after he had risen from the dead. Jesus and the three disciples made their way down to the mountain. And then right there, there's the man that met them and from the multitude. And out of that multitude, people came, and a man running to Jesus fell on his knees and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son," King James Version, "who is a lunatic." Now, I want you to notice the condition of his son. We're going to get somewhere in a moment. He said, "Oftentimes he falls into the fire, and many times he falls into the water." Now, there are two different schools of thought here from the theologians that I read. One says, some Bible teachers say, that this young man was so demon-possessed that the demons were trying to cause him to commit suicide. The other school of thought is, other theologians say that his demon possession caused him to go into epileptic fits and seizures, which caused him to lose his balance and fall into the fire and water. Now, I can remember years and years ago, before I started preaching, that I heard preachers preach on this verse and say, if you was an epileptic, you had demons. Thank God we've learned a little bit better than that. But there are two schools of thought. So whatever this young man's problem was or condition, we know that it was caused by the demon spirits which possessed and controlled this young man's life. Now, let me say this to you. This is Wednesday night, life application. I've said it many times, and there are many times I say things, but you don't listen. Why? I don't know. You're on YouVersion, and the next thing you know, you find yourself on Facebook. And then I say something, you go back to YouVersion. And then I get a little boring, and you go to Pinterest, and, you know, whatever. And how do I know this? Because many of you will come up to me when we have evangelists in, and they preach the same exact thing that I just said. And they come into the, "Oh, Pastor, that word just set me free." I said, "I'll bust you upside your head, what I want to do. Because you ain't listen to what I'm saying." So I want you to listen to what I'm saying. You've got to have balance in your life. That yes, there are evil spirits, and yes, there are demons, and yes, they can possess people. Now, I personally, and I'm not going to get into a theological discussion with you, I personally don't believe a born-again believer can have the devil when he's full of the Holy Ghost. All right? Now, he can be oppressed, and the devil can mess with you all day long, but he cannot possess you. And let me go one step further. The devil don't need to possess some of us. All he wants to do is control us. And he ain't got to possess us to control us. But let me go on a little bit further. So I'm saying that demon spirits are real. But don't be like some of our old, our Pentecostals of old and see demons in everything. You know, I remember when demon was in everything. If you was overweight, you got an eating demon. That's your problem. I'm not joking. Remember, how many remember that? If you talk too much, oh, you just got a talking demon. You just need to have that thing. Chikakapaha. Let me cast that thing out. You know, you lost your hair. A hair demon done got on you. Get off me in the name of Jesus. I mean, whatever they would, I mean, we took it to extremes. How many remember that? All right. So, I want you to know that that is real. And it is truth. But you got to have balance. Not everything that is evil is a demon. All right? Now, the father went on to explain to Jesus that he had brought his sons to the disciples, but they were unable to bring deliverance to the boy. And notice what Jesus said in verse 17. Now I'm reading from the King James Version now, the one that Jesus used. That's the only thing you're going to hear, and you're going to go away here talking about, Pastor said it's the one Jesus used. O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. See, King James, hither. How'd you like to say that? Come hither. And Jesus rebuked the devil and departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now, the disciples couldn't understand why they couldn't cast out the devil out of the boy. So they asked him in verse 19, why couldn't we do it? And then in verse 20 and 21, he tells them, he links these two verses together and says, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Now I want you to underline that. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as of a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So, what I'm trying to tell you is that Jesus coupled the two verses together, that unbelief are directly linked to prayer and fasting. Now, I know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. All right, but let me tell you what that is. That's not just hearing the Word of God, but the second hearing in Romans 10:17 is a understanding. Faith comes by hearing and understanding of the Word of God. Some of us don't have enough word in us. We know scripture, but it hasn't become revelatory in our lives. It hasn't become revelation where it gets down into our spirit and you came too late to try to get it out of me. Does that make sense to you? All right? So, if we examine the scene a little bit closer, we see how important fasting is in the life of the believer. What's my next one? Okay, point number one. Fasting defined. Let's talk about it. Now, fasting defined. The Hebrew word for fast, how do I know this? Because I asked Brian. No, I got a computer. Tsum? Yeah. Tsum. Tsum. Zoom. That's what I have to do to them sticker bars. Zoom, right on by them. Means to cover the mouth. You know, I seen somebody today, and I thought, and honestly, until I saw this today, I thought, well, that's kind of stupid. They're doing I had never heard of it before. They called it a Hannah fast. And a Hannah fast is they're not saying anything negative. I thought, okay, whatever. Because God knows that is a sacrifice for some folk. You don't think that's a struggle? Try it. Nothing negative come out of your mouth. And as soon as you do that, your husband is going to come dressed like a Smurf. And you're going to want to say, baby, but you're going to... Then you got to work up something. Oh, baby, you are very bold wearing that. All right. The Greek word for fast, I can't really pronounce it, nestio, means to abstain. So the connotation for both words is the same, which means to refrain from consuming food. So therefore, the whole concept behind fasting is to abstain from eating food with a spiritual goal or objective in mind. Now, I had somebody ask me Sunday, Pastor, I don't really know what I'm wanting for the Lord. What should, you know, do I have to have a spiritual goal in mind? I said, well, if you're not fasting for, you know, for a specific reason, just begin to fast saying, God, I want to be closer to you. Because that's really the reason anyway. No matter what you have in mind, that is the goal, is to get closer to God, because in His presence there is... Amen. All right. So, it could be that repentance could be a show of repentance. No, repentance. Yeah, I got mixed up there. Fasting could be to show a sign of repentance. How do you know that? Jonah chapter 3 verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. They were repenting for their sins. All right? It could be to gain personal intimacy and power with God. That's most of us. I want to know the mind of God. I want to have the power of God, so that I can do the stuff God wants me to do. Amen? Well, Pastor, that's good because you need that because you're the pastor. No, well, I need it because I'm a believer. I need it because I'm serving God. I need it because I live in a fallen world and fallen people are all around me. And if I don't operate in the power of His Holy Spirit, then I'm going to fall in line with other people instead of in line with the Word of God. All right, so it could be to gain personal intimacy and power with God. Moses, remember Moses? You do not. Y'all don't know him. Y'all wasn't around. Y'all just read about him. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 28, it says, Moses was there and the Lord was with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. Now let me just say this. You're going to do a fast with for 40 days not drinking water or eating anything, you better know that God called you. Why? Because if He didn't, you're going to die. You can't go that long without water. That's why it's supernatural, right? But what happened? He spent that time with the Lord eating no bread or drinking water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. I don't know. I think some great things came out of his intimacy with God. Jesus in Matthew 4 and 1 says, then Jesus, and I always love this, and then Jesus led, what are you doing? What was that next week? Ain't that where I want to go? No, you're right, go back. All right. Rushing me. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Wait a minute. Remember what I told you? Sometimes the Lord will lead you to places. Let me help you. God ain't going to lead you to no whole house. God ain't going to lead you to no crack house. God ain't going to lead you to no bar. God ain't going to lead you there. God ain't going to lead you into the arms of a married person that ain't your spouse. God ain't going to lead you. Now, led him, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. That's why I know I ain't Jesus. After like 2 hours, I'm hungry. But it took him 40 days and 40 nights, and then he hungered. Shoot. But I want you to note the effects of the fasting. Moses in Exodus, and it came to pass in verse 34, verse 29, When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses wist not that his skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw it, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh to him, because they had knew he had been with God. Now, I love this next verse. Now, Jesus in Luke 4:14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Now, wait a minute. We're talking about Jesus. He fasted and returned in the power of the Spirit. Let me tell you a little bit about fasting. The same determination that it takes not to eat the hamburger or candy bar or whatever your little issue is. Andrea, she's one of our youth leaders. She sings up on stage. She's a vegan. What does that mean? I mean, she don't eat nothing. You know, she don't eat anything that comes from a face. She was eating lettuce. I said, that comes from a face. Somebody had to get it. But anyway. So eating a Daniel fast, that's her life. So she, I was like, what are you going to fast? I thought, you know, maybe, I know somebody who eats like that, but they eat, no, not tofu. Y'all quit telling me this. I'll just hush and I'll get it. You know, y'all putting too much. I said, hush. Protein bars, see? Yeah, so that's what she does. So anyway, Andrea, she's doing everything raw. She ain't cooking nothing. She's going to eat it raw. I was like, girl, you're going to get worms. That's what you're going to get. You ain't going to get close to God, you're going to get worms. That's what you're going to get, baby. No, now I'm kidding, but that's a sacrifice for her, okay? So that's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Why do we sacrifice? We sacrifice to get God's attention. We sacrifice so that we can return in the power of the Spirit of God, all right? It could be to get the mind of God on a particular issue. It could be that you're fasting for something you need God to do in your life. It could be, but fasting is always going without food for a particular period of time for the purpose of achieving a spiritual objective. I want to say that again. It's on you version. But it's always going without food for a particular period of time for the purpose of achieving a spiritual objective. Now, put this on Facebook. Some of you didn't see it. But you go, well, Pastor, I already blew the fast. I'm just going to give up. No, just start back where you are. It's not condemnation. It's a sacrifice. Amen? Amen. So, all right, number two. Fasting. Let's talk about a spiritual workout. In the Old Testament, fasting is referred to as afflicting the soul. That they would afflict their soul. You know, now, if you read this just off the cuff, afflicting the soul, in my mind conjures up those monks and things who would beat themselves. You know what I'm talking about? You know, like Da Vinci Code, that dude that just weird, really, really weird albino dude, you know, he would beat himself. That's my idea of afflicting the soul, but that's not what it is. He was weird, wasn't he? The idea is not to become so comfortable. Oh, I should have put this up there. Is not to become so comfortable with your everyday living that you neglect your spiritual well-being. And that's what we do. You know, listen to this principle. I've taught it for years. What the devil cannot stop, he will accelerate. If he can't stop you, he gets you more busier. So that you neglect your spiritual well-being. And when we fast, you know, I'm telling you, at least three times a day, which is more, but at least three times a day I'm thinking about the Lord. Why? Because I'm thinking what I can't have. Right? Now listen to me. And I'm going to say this, and I'm, you know, Don't anybody here go, well, I did that on Facebook. He's talking to me. No, I'm not really. Really, I'm not. Yeah, I am. No, I'm not really. I'm really not. But here's the thing we do. You know, sometimes with fasting, and especially the Daniel fast, instead of concentrating on getting closer to God, we concentrate on how close can we cheat to make the food taste like it always tastes. All right? So just be careful. Don't, you know, it's a sacrifice. Well, it ain't fun. It ain't supposed to be fun. You know, somebody asked me the other day, Pastor, my birthday's during this. Well, matter of fact, happy birthday, Jane. Jane's birthday is today. Amen. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Jane Cash. Happy birthday to you. So you know, you might be like, well, it's my birthday. Well, if you need to get off the fast for your birthday, get off. I told him, because he took her to Outback Sunday. I can promise you, if we're fasting through Sherry A. Musson Reed's birthday, she coming off the fast on that day so she can have cake. I'm just saying. So, you know, it's not the end of the world. I mean, you know, but you, it's between you and the Lord. All right? But make it a sacrifice. All right? In the Old Testament, when the Israelites would afflict their souls, they would turn their attention on God. And from time to time, we need to take a break from our fleshly indulgences to allow our spirit man to become healthy and strong. And that is by concentrating on the spirit man and not just your fleshly man. Amen. Some would say, I've heard them say it, God will never want his people to suffer. Wrong. Tell that to Jesus. Now, did he want it? No, listen, no, here's the principle. I think it's my next one. Give me my next one. God will allow initial suffering to bring about long-term good. If we would call it maybe tough love. The problem with some of our kids, you don't love them enough to discipline them. The problem with some of our kids, you let them get away with everything, and now the law got to take care of them. Mm-hmm. Well, but you know, I was beat, and so therefore I don't want to hit my children. Well, then don't beat your children. I'm not an advocate of beating your children. I'm an advocate of beating you. No, I'm not an advocate of beating your children. I'm an advocate of discipline. God, I don't know how I'm getting into all this. Discipline is forward looking. Punishment is backward looking. So if I punish my child, I'm looking back on what they did. But if I discipline my children, I'm looking forward so they don't do it again. Good preacher. Preacher, I believe I will. Hallelujah. All right, so you don't think afflicting your soul works? Check this out. To get strong, healthy body, what do you got to do? You got to work out. You got to afflict your body to get a good paycheck. You have to endure affliction and pain. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm just being real, right? I mean, we need to look at it. You have to go through it. You know, I mean, listen, I work here at the church. And most days are good days, but not every day do I get up going, woohoo, I get to go to work at church. I don't get up and get every morning and go, woo, I get to go to the office, woohoo. I wish I did. Well, if I had it as easy as you do, you don't have a clue. Ask some of the people who started working here. We have to every once in a while just take them out back and just give them resuscitation. Why? Because we deal with Christians, or so-called. Mm-hmm. All right. How about to bring salvation to man? What did Jesus have to do? Go to the cross. So when you fast or afflict the soul, you make the flesh suffer to bring strength to your spirit. And that's what I want you to keep the focus on. Focus on, I'm getting stronger. You know, some people, you know, and let me just tell you, and you know, I don't know if you're here or not, but I've been criticized a little bit because I put on Facebook that I had a headache. Well, the right hand ain't supposed to let the left hand know what they're doing. I said, I'm trying to let the congregation know that I'm right there with them. I want you to know that I'm fasting and that my head's hurting and I'm having some sugar withdrawals. Uh-huh. I don't know if I've been cranky or not, but I know I snored last night. Why'd you snore? I believe it's because of a chocolate deficiency in my body. I've got to the place where I don't snore, but now I did last night. It's a chocolate deficiency. And of course, we still got candy from Christmas. I go into the, you know, how many of y'all do this? I go to the pantry, just kind of look. Chocolate everywhere. You know what I do every once in a while? I'll open the chocolate. Just want you to know I'm mean business, devil. I ain't gonna eat none. I can smell it, but I ain't gonna eat it. Ah, see, some of y'all don't have, y'all have no idea how crazy I am. Sometimes I open the chocolate, I go, when the Lord told Adam not to eat the tree, he didn't say he couldn't smell it. He didn't say he couldn't touch it. He just said, don't eat it. Amen. I convicted myself. I said, he said he didn't have to eat it, but he didn't say he couldn't lick it. No, I'm just kidding. Point number three. Stay with me. Point number three. Fasting and faith. Y'all getting something out of this? Fasting and faith. Now look at Jesus' response to the disciples' inability to cast out the devil. And I've already hit this. He said this to them, and I'm reading from the King James Version because it's kind of cool what he says to them. He said, you faithless and perverse generation. How would you like to be Jesus' sheep? Which you are, but you know. Y'all think I say some things I shouldn't. What about Jesus? You faithless, perverse folk. That's what Jesus said. And he didn't say it to like a whole church. He said it to his friends. How long? Let me just put this scripture in Florida English. How long? Good Lord Jesus. Do y'all expect me to be up in here with y'all? I have told y'all this time and time again. Then y'all going to let another evangelist here come in and say, ooh, you're going to get it then. That's the Florida version of what Jesus said in verse 17. Perverse, which is a Greek word I won't even try to say, means to distort figuratively, misinterpret, or morally corrupt, turn away. Jesus was grieved because the disciples were distorting or misrepresenting the power of God through their inability to cast out the devil. He said, how long I got to teach y'all how to do this? The disciples asked Jesus why they couldn't do it. He said, because of your unbelief. And that's when he coupled it. I've already dealt with this. He linked verse 20 and 21 together. And from this we see that not fasting goes hand in hand, or that fasting goes hand in hand with faith. Those who fast have increased faith, and those who have increased faith fast. Let me go a little step further. And I will, so you don't feel like I'm putting condemnation on you. I don't do it nowhere near as much as I need to. But fasting ought to be a discipline in your life that you do it from time to time. You know, I can tell you that we men that come to Maximum Assault, we fast all day on Mondays. Or not every Monday, but on the third Monday of every month. We fast. We come together. We pray. And then afterwards, we break our fast together with a meal. Now, you know, and once again, on that fast, I know us here at the staff, we normally just drink water. We don't eat it. But I know some people who just fast coffee. They just fast. But again, a sacrifice is a sacrifice. Start to where you are. We can conclude then from Jesus' statement that there are some things in the kingdom that you cannot do without fasting. Point number four, and I'm done. The power of the fast. Notice he said, this kind. Now what kind, Pastor? The demon spirit, and here's what I want you to really get. This demon spirit had controlled this boy's life for so long that a sweet, now I lay me down to sleep prayer ain't going to get the job done. You know, I got a neighbor. His cats and his stupid little dog keeps coming in my yard. Look, my daughter's shaking her head. Oh, I hate them stinking cats. And they have chose under my boat to be their cat litter box. And their dog just comes over and whizzes on everything. And then my dogs go out and go crazy. What? Somebody said, shut up. They're marking their territory. Have no idea where I was going with that story. Oh, yeah, I do now. Now, when they first started coming over, I would just walk outside and use the southern term, get. And they'd go. But now this has been going on for 6 months. I go out and go, get. And they go, this is my place. This is where they tell me to go to the bathroom. I said, get out of here. Keep it up, you're going to get lead poisoning. But anyway. I wouldn't kill my neighbor's dog. But severely wounded, I will. But what I'm saying is sometimes when you have... I was good until I looked at you. Sometimes you have stuff that comes in your life that you can just go, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Because it didn't get a foothold yet. It didn't set down roots. It didn't set up house. And maybe a little prayer might do it then, but they're this kind. This kind. That which has already put down roots. That which has already had grandkids in that habitation. This kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. See, there are sometimes when things come on you or start coming against you, you can just go, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke it, and it's going to go. But then there are sometimes stuff, those generational curses that's been in you and you didn't even know was there. Come on, somebody. That you got to pray and fast to get through some of them things. You know, just like relationships. Let me go over here to Steve so he can correct me if I'm wrong. Don't correct me. No. It's just like relationships. If you say a lie to your spouse and correct it in the same day, ain't too bad. But you let that lie lay there and lay there, and then you got to lie about the lie. And then 6 months from now, they ask you about the lie, and then you got to lie some more about the lie that you lied about. And you keep piling this stuff on, and it gets a stronghold, and it gets roots, and you can't just get it out of there. Grass doesn't grow up on it. You can't just do it then. This power. If you need personal deliverance, you know, and I believe in having people pray for you, because the Bible says one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight. But how about doing the fasting for yourself? I'm going to tell you, man. You know, I've been pastoring here 22 years. I'm a little tired of fasting for some folk. You know, I'll go one step further. I'm tired of praying for some folk, because they ain't going to help themselves. They want me to do all the work. They out having a good time. Woo! I'm over in the corner praying somewhere. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, touch them, Lord. I deliver them, God. And they ain't doing nothing. They ain't trying to help themselves. They ain't read one scripture, because the pastor going to pray. Woo! Or, hey, I turned in a prayer request. I turned in a prayer card, and I know the intercessor's going to pray. And by God, you know, and it ain't happened yet. Well, I don't know what's wrong with them intercessors. Y'all think I'm kidding? I've had that happen already. Pastor, I've asked the pastoral staff to pray over this, and ain't nothing happened. Well, bless our pea-picking heart. I know why, because we ain't got any faith in you. I don't know, I just felt good to say it. I'm sorry. I take it back. But you get what I'm saying? This kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. I believe in getting people to help you. Man, if I can't pick something up, I'm going to call somebody. I'm going to call somebody to help me get up, pick it up and move it. However, I need to be there to put my own strength and my own initiative, especially if it's in my house. You ever had anybody want you to come over and help them do something, and when you get there, it's all about you doing it, not them? Yeah, what I need you to do. Now, it's one thing if you can't because you're disabled or something, but you all strong and younger than me. All of a sudden, I'm going to get started hurting. Oh, I don't think I can do that. What's my last one? There are some things that have such a control of your life for so long that it's going to take fasting and prayer to break it loose. Let me go one step further. And it might not just be a 21-day fast that needs to happen. And what I mean by that, have you ever, you know, I'm thinking about the roots of a tree or something you try to move, you try to break it loose. You go out there and push and you beat and you chop and everything, and it just won't go anywhere. So, you know, I might leave it alone for a few days. Get your back rested up. Then you go back at it. You hit it again. You move a little bit further. You keep working on it, keep working on it, keep working on it. And then eventually you go out there and that joker just gives way. I believe that's the way fasting happens with some of us. This cometh not but by prayer and fasting. I don't know why God does what he does, how he does it. I know people who've been delivered like that. I know a guy by the name of Rex Tucker. Sherry would know him. He was a drug dealer, a drug addict. He came to the altar on a Sunday night. In Bluntstown, I prayed for him. He never had a desire for drugs anymore. His wife was high when I prayed for her. She woke up sober. She still wanted drugs that evening. And it took her several years to get through it and get over it. I don't know why. But here's what I do know. Is, you know, I'm real concerned about your problems. But I'm really concerned about mine. And I'm going to pray about your problem, but I'm really going to pray about mine. And so I'm really going to fast about my situation. And so do you. So is there power in fasting? Absolutely. And I know we don't have time to pass the mic and give testimonies tonight about fasting. But if you've ever had God, and I don't want this to be a peer pressure, but if you've ever had, you know that God did something through a fast, would you just lift up your hand? Good, good, good. No shame. Well, I didn't raise my hand. I felt off. Kind of felt bad. I've been a Christian a long time, you know. So I'm lying, but I got my hand up. You'd be surprised at people who do that. Why? Because I used to be one. Y'all think y'all invented that? No. You're not going to raise him, but then you see this other guy over here who you know is like a sinner. You're like, shoot, he can't be more spiritual than me. You don't know what you're praying for. You don't know what you're fasting for. Then just say, God, I just want to get close to you. Stand to your feet with me. It's 8:30. It's supposed to be done. Holy Spirit of God. I want you to determine in your spirit. See, I've made a determination in my spirit that I'm not going to do without. You call it selfish, whatever you want to call it. I'm not going to do without for 21 days and not get something in return. And the something that I desire is closer to Him. It's like in the book of Genesis chapter 13 when God told Abraham, I am your exceedingly great reward. And Abraham says, yeah, but what do I get? He says, I am your exceedingly great reward. Yeah, God, but what do I get? You get God. And that's enough. I'm believing. And listen, to the best of your ability, I want you to, if you feel comfortable enough, when these, I'm not saying if, I'm saying when these breakthroughs come, I want you to either write it on your focus card, put it on our Facebook wall, send somebody an email if you don't want it out there for everybody to see. Send an email to one of the pastors so that we can talk and celebrate it with you. Because I'm believing for breakthroughs in your life. I'm believing for the anointing of God to be unleashed. And you're going to be one step ahead of the Sunday morning crowd because Sunday morning I'm already preaching on unleashed the authority of our lives. And part of that is fasting and praying. You got to know who you are. And one of the ways that you know who you are is knows whose you are. And if you know whose you are, then you know what is in your repertoire in order to use. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the God of the breakthrough. Is there power in fasting? Absolutely. Lord, they come too late to tell me. I know there is. And God, I pray for every person, every family, would experience the yoke-destroying, bird-bearing power of the Most High God. That I pray for things that people have dealt with for years. That by the conclusion of this fast would fall off. That they would be defeated. That by the Lord, we don't have to wait for the fast to end. But even tonight some people's faith have been activated. And in the name of Jesus, I don't know who I'm talking to right now. And I'm not going to ask you to come up here, but there, I feel like there are three people at least that are dealing, and all of us deal with it a little bit, but I'm not talking about this as serious. A serious have self-esteem issues. God said, I'm going to break that off of you. It came from when you were a child. It came from people picking on you. It came from this or that. But God said, no matter where it came from, it's going back to where it came from. Que ta rosa. Seem like you just can't break free from it. Every time you take a step up, somebody knocks you back down. Holy Spirit of God, right now, by the power of your Spirit, power of your name, do your work. In your mighty name I pray. Amen. God bless you tonight. Can we just give Jesus a hand of praise for His miraculous work and power of the Most High God? We give you praise. We give you glory. Hey, let's do this. Can I get a couple of prayer folks to come up here in case somebody wants prayer? You want prayer, need prayer. Come on, prayer. Some of my prayer team, come up here. And if you need prayer, I know we're dismissing, but just come on up here.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.